First up alphabetically is CJ Alvarez, who's the Mellon Latino Studies Resident Scholar. He's a member of the Department of Mexican American and Latino Studies at UT Austin. He has a PhD from the University of Chicago and a BA from Stanford. The title of his project is A History of the Chihuahuan Desert. CJ.
Hello, everyone. I'm here at SAR this year to write about the history of the Chihuahuan Desert. This is a very unusual topic for historians. Scientists know it really well. Scientists know it for its size. It's arguably the biggest desert on the continent in North America. It has a higher level of biodiversity than some forests, and this is something that scientists appreciate. But it's a very unpopular topic among historians. I think there are at least two reasons for this. The first reason is because counterintuitively, some very, very important political events have taken place inside the boundaries of the Chihuahuan Desert ecoregion. One of those, of course, is the demarcation and delineation of the U.S.-Mexico border in the 1840s and 1850s. That, of course, was and continues to be a controversial dividing line that attracts varying levels of political debate. Another hugely important political development within the Chihuahuan Desert was the successful detonation of the first atomic weapon down there at Trinity. Some of you might have been there and visited that site. And the third that I think is also important but often forgotten or overlooked on this side of the border is that some of the most significant battles of the Mexican Revolution, the first social revolution of the 20th century, were fought in the desert in the Mexican North. And that conflict produced some of the most important leaders, including a couple of presidents, that are central to 20th century Mexican history, 21st century Mexican history as well. What these political developments have the effect of doing is refocusing the conversation away from the environment onto purely political developments. And what I've found is that people have a very difficult time thinking spatially and thinking geographically without using political borders. Here's these states and these territories, and here's this country, and here's that country. The second reason I think this has been an unpopular topic for historians, for environmental historians, is because of what I call exotic desert narratives. These come in two forms. The desert can only be one of two things. It can either be a wasteland, not valuable at all, something where no one lives, allegedly. Of course, it's never really the case. And that is economically valueless. Or it can be a beautiful, aesthetic, transcendental landscape for artistic inspiration, spiritual elevation, and so on and so forth. To my mind, both of these narratives are two sides of the same coin. They both exoticize the desert. And they're both perspectives that are typically held by outsiders. That is, the desert compared to something else. The desert is beautiful compared to something else. The desert is a wasteland compared to something else. And in these two regards, the Colorado Plateau and the Mojave Desert have been more attractive to writers who are interested in writing creative nonfiction about the desert, desert encounters, that sort of thing. So here's what I'm doing in contrast. Here's what I'll be up to over the course of the year. I'm focusing on the late 19th and 20th centuries, so this is a modern desert history. I'm not an archaeologist, so I'm focusing on a very modern period. I'm not a naturalist. I'm not writing about the environment for its own sake. I think political borders matter. What interests me most is the mutual constitution between political developments and ecological conditions, right? To bring the environment back in to these political stories and the background of those political stories that many of us know so well. I'm not interested in outsiders' views. I'm not interested in the wasteland narrative, and I'm not interested in the beautiful desert, beautiful landscape narrative. I'm interested in the perspectives of desert dwellers themselves, desert peoples themselves. To give you a sense of what I'm talking about, I'm working on an article slash chapter right now, and the provisional title is Desert People Don't Say Desert. And it's about the people living in the Tularosa Basin before the evacuation for the White Sands Missile Range. And I'm looking at how they talk about their confrontation with the environment, their interaction with the environment, and they almost never say desert, an outsider's word. So I look forward to talking to some of you later on, getting to know you all over the course of the year. And thanks very much.